Friends, my name is Kevin Key.
Does God exist? You know, I find it interesting that you and I live in a world today where mankind will believe nearly anything under the sun. Inquiring minds want to know, and for that reason, they'll turn to the newspaper, to the magazine, to the tabloids to see what people have to say about people and about life in general. Also, they will turn to the radio or to television. In fact, back in Indiana, there was a radio station that said, "I saw it on the radio." And simply because people see things, hear things, a lot of times they will believe it to be a fact, even though sometimes there's not sufficient evidence to prove if indeed whatever is being claimed is indeed the truth. Whenever it comes to God, does God exist? Good people, we have many people here in the world who deny the existence of our God. Who are they? Good people, the Bible identifies a person such as this, that they have become wise, and in doing so, in their own mind, in doing so, they have become fools. In becoming wise in their own mind, for this reason, they reject Jesus Christ at the cross, and also, they reject the existence of our God. In all of this, we understand is that this school of thought has been brought forth by those who are atheists. Who are atheists? Atheists not only deny the existence of God, but in like figure they deny that the world was created by special creation. In other words, they do not believe that God spoke this world into existence, but rather they believe that God brought forth, or at least those who are theistic evolutionists, believe that God brought forth this world through the process of evolution, but yet those who are true atheists who do not believe in God, they believe strictly in the process of evolution. The theories that they believe in, good people, is that the world, the universe, began with a Big Bang. The question certainly would stand, well, where did the Big Bang come from? But also they believe that the earth began as a very small, intricate part of the design universe of which we have, and that the universe, the earth itself more specifically, expanded to the point, it literally blew up to the point of where we are at this given age. Good people, where did mankind come from? They contend that mankind is the process and the product of evolution, that man eventually has formed to the point to where we are today, that we have come from apes, that they are our ancestors. Good people, the Bible tells us that these people have become fools in their heart, and that they have done, that they are corrupt, and that they have done abominable iniquity in the existence of their life here upon the face of the earth. The Bible tells us that the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. God looks at these individuals as foolish. But understand, is that the atheists of this world, that they are not alone when we think in regard to evolution. Evolution has been promoted by our government. The Supreme Court in June 25, 1962, ruled that public prayer was to be dismissed, that public prayer was to be taken away from the school system. And good people, understand, from that point in time, we have seen the United States and other nations even going down a slippery slope, leading us away from a belief in the existence of our God. In fact, we also learn, as history reveals, in 1967 there was a ruling against the legislation here in the state of Tennessee, not allowing teachers to teach openly concerning creation as a possibility of the existence of the world, but rather they also said that evolution needed to be considered. Also, though, we understand, as was presented by the Supreme Court in 1968 in a ruling against Arkansas, they said that if you're going to teach concerning the creation, that evolution deserves equal consideration, equal time in the classroom. Today, where are we? Today, creation is not allowed to be taught in an open realm, in the public classroom, but rather what they're trying to shove down the throats of our children is evolution. That evolution is not just a theory, but rather that evolution is factual. Good people, we also understand, though, is that not only do we see that it's supported and promoted by those in our government, we see that it is highly promoted through the media. Magazines. You turn to and through the magazines and you will find the new evolutionary discoveries that we are coming in contact with from a scientific standpoint. We also can turn on the television to the Discovery Channel, to our children, to what they tune into with cartoons and movies. They're teaching and preaching, if you would, the theories of evolution, presenting these things to us. And you say, Kevin, how do you know that they're doing that? Because they are teaching that this world is billions of years old. And they're teaching that God does not exist and that science is indeed the God that we need to buy into. But also, good people, today, what a blessing we have with the internet to be able to go on and to have a social media to where that we can communicate with people all the way across the world. Also to have the ability to type in and to have this literal library before our eyes. But also understand is that the internet offers many, many perverse, many ungodly things. And one thing that is relative to our lesson this morning is that the internet is filled with material, with the evolutionary propaganda, presenting time and time again the theories, not as theory, but as factual things that science has come up with to disprove the existence of our God. Good people, understand that you and I are involved in a fight that requires us to realize that it's more than just the atheist, our government, and media that we are battling against. Who really and truly is behind evolution? Satan is. The devil, the Bible identifies for us in Scripture, is a liar. The Bible brings this forth as we look into consideration of Adam and Eve. Satan lied to Adam and Eve in the garden. But also, whenever Jesus Christ our Lord lived here upon the face of the earth, Satan lied to Him. In what attempt? To get Him to fall from His position as deity, but also to get Him to turn against our God. But Jesus refuted Him with Scripture, and in like figure today, good people, Satan is actively out there lying to us. He's lying to us in every realm of life, pursuing avenues to get us to fall away from God, and more specifically to the lesson this morning, he's lying in regard to evolution. Doing all that he can to get it into the minds of those of us who are adults, but more so, I believe that he's doing all that he can to get into the minds of our children, into the minds of the little ones, so that whenever they grow to adulthood, that they will have dismissed any thought, any possibility of the existence of God. Good people, in all of this, what is the truth? The truth of the matter is that there is a God. Daniel said in Daniel chapter 2 and verse 28, there is a God in heaven. And good people, today I stand before you and I tell you that without any question, there is a God in heaven. And the evidence concerning our God is so amazing. It's overwhelming in regard to the evidence that we find here in the universe itself. The universe shouts out before us that there is a God. It declares the glory of God. And good people, we understand from the words of the Apostle Paul to the saints at Rome in Romans chapter 1 verses 18 through 22, where he said concerning the Gentiles who were not God's people, but yet at the same time, they were able to realize that indeed that there is a Creator, that the world did not bang into existence, that the world did not exist simply because the world came into existence, but rather that the world shouted out that without question there is a God. What do we find in the world to identify that there is a God? Good people, we find design in this world, in the earth and in the universe, in the solar system, everything that we see here in this world certainly identifies that there is a God. Take into consideration the mountains. That certainly identifies that there is a designer. Why? Because mountains just do not happen. Also, when we take into consideration the design of the solar system. Good people, all that we find in relation to the planets, the perfect alignment of these planets. Also, what we find in regard to the earth itself,
the tilt of the axis of which we are on, the rotation of the earth. Also, whenever we take into consideration how far we are from the moon and how far our distance is from the sun, and how that if we were only 10% closer or further away, how that these things would cause us either to freeze or to burn up. Good people, the universe itself certainly cries out that there is a God. But yet at the same time, as we consider the universe and all that the evidence that is therein, it does not tell us who God is. And for that reason, we turn to the Bible. The Bible explains God. The Bible gives an explanation concerning life. The Bible claims innumerable times that it is God-breathed, that it is God's communicated message to mankind, and that in communicating this message to man, that God has given unto us everything pertaining to life and godliness. And the Bible gives an explanation concerning life. It tells us how life came into existence. Because people, not only how man came into existence, the Bible tells us concerning the things that we will face in life, also the things that we need to think about in life and the direction that we need to live our lives in order for us to have eternal life and heaven with our God. But also the Bible is a revelation of our Creator. When you think in regard to evolution and the theories of evolution, they are without end, as well as they are without any explanation, true, valid explanation concerning the premises of these schools of thought. But good people, when we think in regard to the existence of this world by special creation, by God the Creator, our God not only tells us how things happen, the Bible tells us concerning our Creator, about deity Himself.
Also, we understand concerning the instructions of life, and we're given great foresight, insight, pertaining to life beyond this life. You know, the atheists say that whenever man dies, it's that he's like the dog Rover who's dead all over. And good people, what a terrible statement that is. It's terrible to the fact to think that man could think that whenever life here upon the face of this earth ends, is that that's what life was all about. It's hopeless when you consider it from the standpoint, from the viewpoint of those who believe in atheists, the atheistic schools of thought and evolution. But also, what a terrible statement that is. Why? Because someday they shall stand before the Creator of this world to give an account of their thought and of their life. And good people, they will learn very quickly is that life did not end in the grave, but rather that eternity and their separation from deity will be without end. From whence did God originate? The Bible tells us that God is eternal. Abraham states that God is everlasting. Abraham came to realize that certainly someone or something has had to always exist, and it was revealed from an evidence standpoint as Abraham went in and throughout the course of his life, and as he sought and pursued after God and godliness, it was revealed unto him, he was fully confident that our God is indeed eternal. And Abraham was not alone. Good people, Moses realized as he stood and was given instructions to go back into the children of Israel and to lead them out of Egypt. And Moses questioned, how in the world am I, a man who is inferior to the Pharaoh of Egypt, how am I going to be able to go back and to lead these people out of their Egyptian oppression? And God spoke unto him, and He told him, Moses, not only do you go back, but He says, Moses, you tell them, I am who I am has sent you. I am has sent you unto the children of Israel. What is it that God was conveying unto Moses and to modern mankind today? God says, I am eternal. He says, I have not come into existence, but rather I have always existed. And good people, Daniel understood this very same. Excuse me, David rather. David said in the book of Psalms 41 and verse 13, the Lord God is from everlasting to everlasting. What does David see? Good people, David said that God is indeed without end. He has always existed and He will always exist. But where did time come from? The people, time has come from God for us.
We learn from 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8 that a day is as 1,000 years with the Lord. Well, what does that mean? God stands outside of time. We understand from the book of Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, in the beginning, God created. In the beginning tells us that this is the beginning of what? It's not only the beginning of the created universe, of the earth, and of all that we know, but rather, good people, it's also the beginning of time. And what do we learn in reference to time? The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verses 1 through 8 says that there is a time for everything. We are given time while we are here to live, to survive, to provide, to protect, as well as to come to a recognition and knowledge of our God. We understand, though, that God, concerning His plan, has also operated concerning time within a realm of time for which He has created, that He has brought into existence whenever it came to the bringing forth of His plan in the book of Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4. In the fullness of time, God brought forth His Son, born of a virgin. God, in our time, for us, for our salvation, delivered Jesus Christ into the world. And God says concerning His plan and the time that you and I are given here upon the face of the earth, in the book of James chapter 4 and verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow, but what is your life? It is even as a vapor that appears for what? A little time and then vanishes away. Time is what you and I have while we are here upon the face of the earth that is God-given. And God wants us to utilize, to recognize the time that we have and to use that time wisely. For what? Always to the glorification of His name, and to use our time for what? To realize, as the Apostle Paul taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, that today is a day of salvation. To use the time that we have to know the Lord, to obey the Lord, and to live our lives for the Lord. God is indeed eternal. And He has given us this life here in time to prepare for the day when we shall stand before the Creator. How did the Creator create all that we have in existence? Good people, there are those who are advocates of theistic evolution. Theos meaning God, and evolution meaning that they believe that God created the process of evolution. In all of this, friends, we see that they believe in a gap theory. They do not believe that God created in a continual fashion in Genesis chapter 1 and following, but rather they see a period of time, millions to billions of years, that took place between Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1, we read, "In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God hovered over the face of the waters." They take that term there, "the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the earth," and they transliterate a Hebrew term there, and they, in transliterating, they say that the earth became without form and void and darkness. In other words, what they're trying to say is that God created this world of which now exists, and that He stepped back and that He allowed eons and eons of time to transpire, and over the process of that then, the earth became formless and void and darkness upon the face of the deep. And then it was later, at a point in time, that God intervened and came in and He recreated that which had become without form, darkness, and void. And good people, understand that the Bible does not give any indication at all that that's what happened. Why? Because God says that whenever He created it, here's the state that it was in. And what God is saying is that there was no gap theory, but rather in all of this is that it shows that He is moving forward with His process in creation. But also, there are those who believe in a day-age theory. You see what they're trying to do here, don't you? They're trying to fit God into the timetables of science, into the timetables of evolution. They believe in a day-age theory that says, you know, we know today what a day equals. A day equals 24 hours. And yet at the same time, that's not what it equaled whenever we look at Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1. Do people understand that God is not confusing? In fact, God uses terminology that you and I can very clearly understand exactly what it is that He's dealing with in creation and in all matters pertaining to life and godliness. You say, Kevin, what do you mean? Good people, whenever we consider the term day here in Genesis chapter 1, as it is used, God constantly uses consistently the term yom. And that word yom helps us to realize that He's speaking about a day whenever we also consider His usage of it in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and verse 11. God said unto the children of Israel in the giving of the Ten Commandments, He says, "For in 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the Sabbath belongs to the Lord. And in it Israel was commanded to rest." Good people, whenever He says that in 6 days you shall labor, guess what word He uses? He used the term yom. In 6 days, yom, Israel shall labor and do all of their work. Well, what was Israel to think in regard to that? Was Israel to think, you know, God's not talking about a literal 24-hour day, that for 6 literal 24-hour days we're to labor and do all of our work. Was Israel thinking, you know, well, we're going to have to work for eons and eons, for billions and billions of years, and then we're going to get a rest? You say, Kevin, that's absurd. Israel would have very clearly understood that God was speaking to them about 6 literal days. And to that I say, amen. And if God is using yom in a literal sense, 6 literal 24-hour days there, why is it that God does not use, according to their theology, a day meaning a literal 24-hour day in Genesis chapter 1. Good people, it doesn't line up. But also understand is that God says He knew that man was going to have a problem with that. And God says, and morning and evening was the first day. And morning and evening was the second day. And morning and evening was the third day. And morning and evening was the fourth day. And morning and evening was the fifth day. And morning and evening... You say, Kevin, you're being redundant. Isn't it sad that we have to be silly sometimes? To show the simple things in order to get our points across. But good people understand is that God, in creating the world, knew that man was going to think that he was wiser than God. You cannot buy into the theories of evolution and truly be a follower of God. Why? Because the Scripture identifies that God did not create chaos. But rather, good people, God created order. Our God did not create a process of evolution, but rather our God created perfection. He created a perfect universe. He created man in a perfect sense after His image. He created a perfect environment for mankind to live and to dwell in. Why do we find in regard to the world that then, in the scientific realm, that the earth appears to be older than what we believe it to be from a biblical standpoint? Number one, good people, we need to understand that we are measuring these things from a scientific standpoint and that they have come up with the standards of measurement, and in their standards of measuring things, these things have been proven to be fallible continually throughout the ages. But also understand that if an individual lived at day one, if you and I had had the opportunity, the blessing, to have been there in the garden with Adam and Eve at day one, that they are there, if you would, after they had been created, placed in the garden, how old would the earth have looked then? How old would they have looked? They would have looked much older than one day old. You say, how do you know, Kevin? Look at the context concerning Adam and Eve. They are adults. They are mature. How do we know? Because they're able to think and to reason for themselves. How do we know? Because they're able to get up and walking about. This is what's found in Genesis chapter 3. How do we know? Because they're able to have intellectual conversation amongst themselves. And that in all of this, good people, we also realize is that they're able to reproduce within their own mix here, the male and the female. Adam and Eve would not have looked like they were one day old. They would have looked much older as mature adults. In like figure, the earth would not have looked as if it were a day or 6 days old. dependent upon what part of the earth we're considering. It would not have looked as if it was only 6 days old at most at this point. Why? Because God created it in a mature state. And therefore, whenever we take into consideration man's thoughts, and whenever we try to plug in man's thoughts concerning scientific standards, and to measure it against what the Bible says in the realm of creation, we're not going to be able to line up. We say, Kevin, what is it then that we must do? We must dismiss the theories and to go with the facts. The facts meaning those things that are found and established in Scripture. The Bible tells us that God created the heavens and the earth and all that is in them. And good people, to try and to have our cake and eat it too, to try and to say, well, you know, I still believe in an old age or in an old earth, it doesn't line up with Scripture. It's a contradiction of Scripture. And God does not allow us to have that liberty to do so. We must speak where the Bible speaks, and to be silent where the Bible is silent. And to realize that certainly God does exist. And in His existence, He has created this world of which you and I reside in 6 literal 24-hour days, exactly as the Bible tells us. And He's created us with a blessing and opportunity to believe in Him and to obey Him. Today, we ask that question, do you believe in God? You say, Kevin, what do you mean, do I believe in God? I believe in God, yes, because there has to be someone or something out there that's much greater than man. That's not what I'm asking. Do you believe in God beyond that, to where you believe that He has not only created us, but that He loves us, and that He has given us His Son, Jesus Christ, at Calvary's cross, as a means of redemption for the sins that we commit against Him? Do you believe that to the point to where you're willing to surrender your life, to give your life over to Him? How so? Jesus said in the book of Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believes not shall be condemned. Do you believe today to the point of baptism? If not, we would love to be able to sit and to study with you, to bring you to a better understanding of the Scripture, and help you build your faith in God to where you will be obedient to Him. But today, if you're here and you do believe to that end, but you've not yet done something about it, we want to invite you with His call to put Christ on in baptism,